Welcome to Stop Panicking Virtual Summit, brought to you today by the Public Speakers Association. I'm so excited to introduce to you the amazing Miss Elizabeth Bachman. Elizabeth, take it from here.
Well, thank you. And Tanya, if you just stay on the line for a second, set our stage. Why did you say stop panicking? I mean, I tell you why I'm panicking, but why did you want to make this stop panicking?
Well, because I feel that a lot of times people always say they're not ready because they panic about whatever's in their head, making them not do whatever it is that they need to be doing.
Okay. All right. Great. Well, that actually gives me something fun to talk about then. So I am Elizabeth Bachman. I am an international opera director and presentation skills leadership trainer. So I deal with strategic speaking for leaders and influencers. And I learned all this by having worked in the performing arts for 30 plus years and directing such people as Luciano Pavarotti, Placido Domingo, and people like that. And now what I do is I use the skills that I learned in those days to help speakers master a signature speech that actually sells. And I'm just delighted to be here on the Public Speakers Association. So happy to be here with Tanya, the amazing Tanya. And indeed, stop panicking. The thing about having a signature speech is that you can do it at the last minute. If you have to do something and you have no notice, you can just say, this is my signature speech. I do it. I don't have to panic because I know that I have a signature speech. The key is, do you have a signature speech that actually sells? I mean, the thing that breaks my heart is I see so many speakers out there who are giving their all and yet not getting the results they need. They're getting up in front of a group, they're talking about their business, they're getting up in front of a corporation or training a team, and they're just not getting the results they want and the results they need, to tell you the truth. And especially what I'm talking about is giving a speech. So that today, what I want to do is to help you not make the three big mistakes that I see over and over again. And to be frank, I'm doing this because I have made all these mistakes myself. So, sometimes I've been really good and sometimes it's been awful until I learned the techniques that I now teach. So my intention is to tell you about these three big mistakes and, of course, what to do about them. The first thing I want you to think about is how to design your speech to get results. I learned this myself. I grew up in the theater. I've been dedicated to the art of great communication since I was 5 years old, and I was in a school play, and my mom said that I was the best damn bunny rabbit that ever graced the stage of the hillside school, and I was hooked. And I learned then, and through the many years of acting, directing, training opera singers, and now training business professionals, it's all about communication. I learned about how not to make these mistakes when I realized I needed to speak to get sales. In the early 2000s, had a dream. I always wanted to run a company of my own. I was in the opera business those days. I didn't think there was anything else, and I wanted to run an opera company. And in about 2003, I was given the opportunity to bring young opera singers to the Austrian Alps and to create a joint Austrian-American opera school. And I was so thrilled. The hills are alive. I was going to go off and do opera in the mountains. And the only teeny weeny problem was that I had to raise $100,000 to launch the program. And that was when I had to learn to give speeches. We didn't qualify for any grants. I had to found a nonprofit and I had to raise all the money by speaking. And to tell you the truth, at first I was terrified and I was terrible. I mean, this is where the rubber meets the road, when it is your company on the line, it's your business, and you have to look someone in the eye and ask them to give you money. So I had to master a signature speech on my own behalf, and it was a whole thing. And for all that I knew about presentation, I didn't know how to fix myself. The thing that saved me was finding a mentor. A speaker trainer came to one of my events, one of my fundraisers, and called me up the next day and said, you know, there are some things that you could do to improve your results. And I don't know if anybody else on this call has ever been there, but you know how it is when you're up there and you're talking about the wonderful things that you want to do, and then you get to the point where you ask for the money and you see their faces close up and they get polite. Does anybody on this call know what it's like to talk all about the things you want to do and people say thank you and leave with their credit cards still in their pockets? I was desperate. So when this speaker trainer came and she told me there was a whole art to speaking to get results, speaking to get people to open their wallets, I was amazed. And really what she told me was that I wasn't wrong, I wasn't stupid, I just didn't know what I didn't know. And I realized I needed to invest in this training. I needed to find the money. I didn't know where I was going to do it. I didn't have the money to hire her, but I knew that my dedication to the people who needed my help had to be greater than my fear. And so I scrounged around and I found the money and I hired her, and it was the best investment I had ever made. That was the key moment. Everything had changed. The money came in, we raised that $100,000, not to mention the $50,000 it took every year to keep it going for 11 years. And the part I'll never forget is when I went up to somebody I'd never met before, she'd been recommended to me, and I told her what I wanted to do and hoped I could get $100 from her. And she sat down and wrote me a check for $3,000, handed that to me and said, "Here, I believe in your dream. I believe in what you want to do. Here's a full scholarship for a student." Woohoo! This is why I do what I want to do. And this is what I help my clients do. So the three big mistakes that I see presenters make. The third biggest is not being relevant, or not having your listeners think you're relevant. If they don't think it's about them, they're going to tune out. Speaking gigs can be incredibly profitable, and they can be a huge waste of time. And the key is to match your message to the room. So write that down. Match your message to the room. This means choosing a niche, knowing who you speak to, who needs what you want to have, and then crafting your message so that you address not just what they need, but what they want. There are a lot of people I know who speak who say, "Everybody needs me. Everybody needs this." But if they don't know they need you, then they're not going to listen. So you address what they want, and once they've hired you, you can give them what they need. The second biggest mistake I've seen is too much how, not enough why. Say that, write that down. Too much how, not enough why. This is actually speaking 101. It's sales 101. You know, it's sell the benefits, not the features. Sell the sizzle, not the steak. And yet, if you're an expert in what you do, if you're really smart about what you do, and if you know a whole lot and you're excited about it, it's so easy to go off on a tangent and go off and you tell people way more than they really want to hear. So I hear from speakers all the time that I have to give them value. I have to give them information. But there again, you've got to be relevant. It goes back to the third biggest mistake. You've got to address what they want, give them tips, but don't give them everything. Don't tell them how to do what you're going to teach them how to do. You tell them what they're going to get. Focus on the benefits. Now, I know a lot of speakers who still will go off into the how of what they do. I'm afraid I do it myself if I'm not careful. So here's a mindset for you. It might help you out. Think that you're not selling a program. You're not selling what it is that you do. You are convincing them that they have a problem for which you have the solution. So actually what you're doing is you're enrolling them in the idea that they can solve their problem by using your solution, which means that you are a figure of hope. If you think of this, you think, I'm here to deliver value as a figure of hope. I'm going to give them the hope that they can solve their problem through hiring me or using my system or buying my book, working with me. Think about the hope that you are promoting, not necessarily how you get there. This also works if you are talking about something that has a lot of technical details. My client, Jeff, worked for a software company and software and hardware. And what they often did was they came in to fix the computers that were broken. But what they really wanted to do was come in and set up the system for all those computers. And he couldn't figure out how to talk about why it mattered. And so we worked out for him was a metaphor. He had a lot of technical information. He used the metaphor to explain it and then backed it up with the technical information. The metaphor we came up with was, you know how in your company you take your computers for granted? Well, your computer is actually like a Swiss Army knife. And there is a use for all the tools on that Swiss Army knife, including the toothpick. And you're only using the big blade. What we do is set up your computer system so that you are using all the tools that you've already paid for, and you can go back to taking your computers for granted. Since he's been using that story, since he's been using that metaphor, he's actually tripled the business. They get brought in all the time to then set up the systems. And then, of course, since they've set them up, it's even easier to fix them. The first biggest mistake I see is speakers who are bland or pushy. You know, think about it. Have you ever seen a bland speaker? We all have. Have you ever seen a pushy speaker? Have you ever been that pushy speaker? Write this down. Sales is like sex. Nothing happens until somebody gets excited. I'll say that again. Sales is like sex. Nothing happens until somebody gets excited. Your words are only 7% of what people perceive about you. 93% comes from how you deliver those words, how you look, who you are in the room. So focus on your performance. Yes, you have to have the words first, But once you have the words, think about how you're going to tell them, how you're going to speak. What's the melody of your message, for instance? Think about the power of the pause. Think about when you're going to stop and let them respond. Make eye contact. Look at them. This is actually why the speakers who are responsible for bringing in hundreds of thousands of dollars every time they speak, the Tony Robbinses and the Robert Kiyosakis, they spend more time focusing on performance than they do on the words that they're telling. So the first biggest mistake is being bland or pushy. The answer to that is be compelling. Work with somebody. My client Mary had wonderful words. She's a writer. She's a writing teacher. She helps people create their books. Mary's problem was that when she got nervous, when she got scared, her voice would go down into a monotone and you couldn't hear her. Her face would fall. She'd look down at her, don't look down at her toes. So we worked much more on her presence, her performance, her charisma than we did when we were working on her, than we did on the words. And she wrote to me not too long ago to say, "It was amazing. I wish you'd been at this panel. I was really nervous because I only had 3 minutes. I wasn't allowed to make an offer, but I did what you told me. I concentrated on the techniques that you gave me." And people told me later, they'd never seen me so grounded and so compelling. Best of all, after my speech was over, 8 people came to my table at the back of the room and signed up for my introductory package. $8,000 in 3 minutes. Woohoo! This is the best part. This is the best part about having it all work together. And I'm going to give you 3 other ways of thinking about this solution. And write down strategy, script, and style. The first biggest mistake is not feeling relevant. The answer is use a strategy. Have a strategy for where you're going to speak, who are you going to speak to, and make sure you know who they are, who needs you. Choose a niche. Now, I know a lot of people object to having a niche. Speakers say to me all the time, they say, "I can't choose a niche. That's going to lock people out," which, if you think of it, is actually a scarcity conversation. Trust that if you identify yourself as the speaker for women in male-dominated industries who are very smart, need to make high-stakes presentations, and have a hard time being concise or compelling. That's a niche that I work with a lot, for instance. Women who are high-level leaders in organizations need to make high-stakes presentations. They know a lot, and they have a hard time being concise and compelling. If you say that, that doesn't mean that I don't work with men. There are actually quite a few men who come and work with me. But if I aim for the women, the men who also fit that description will be there. It's kind of like thinking of it as a target. If you define your bullseye and aim for that, that doesn't mean that you're not going to hit some of the outer rings as well. So if you get your marketing aim for those people, be relevant. Have a strategy. What you're going to say, who you're going to say. Then the second problem was too much how, not enough why. You solve that by having a script. Make sure that you have the right words, the words that will work for the people that you've chosen in your strategy. Use your words. Practice your great phrases. Practice the sound bites that people will respond to. Have their script. And then once you have your script, and you practice it, then you can work on how you deliver it. Who you are, the charisma, your style. It breaks my heart that there are so many people who out there who want to work, want to get out there and speak, and they're not getting good gigs and they're not getting results. I actually book speakers for a couple of events near where I live, and I talk to speaker organizers all the time, and they are swamped by people who want to speak. And it's wonderful. This is wonderful that so many people understand the value of having a signature speech. But having a signature speech that sells is the tough part. And organizers tell me all the time that even though they're swamped by people who want to speak, they're desperate for the good speakers. Speakers who can educate, inspire, and get sales are sadly few and far between. So think about that. Are you a speaker who educates? Are you a speaker who inspires? And can you get a sale? And by sale, I don't necessarily mean money. It means convincing people, if you have a call to action, and get people to actually do what you ask them to do. That's why it's worth working with a mentor as I did. And to tell you the truth, I've spent thousands and thousands. I've probably spent $24,000, $25,000 working with mentors who can teach me just how to make it just that much better. Sometimes it's a little detail. It's just tweaking. And yet, always working, keeping your speech as a keeping your speech as a living organism, practicing, honing it, making it better. You want to combine inspiration and practical tools. Make sure you have a system. Make sure you have a strategy. You have a script. And you have style. Because these are the best things you do. And then, remember, you have to practice. I mean, after all, Tina Turner, Beyonce, the great singers, they don't change their performance every time. They change their audience. So if you have a signature speech, it's okay to do more or less the same thing. You will change the details, but it's more or less okay to have more or less the same outline, the same basics, the same key phrases. Because people who love you, who've heard it before, they're going to come and they're going to hear it again, and they'll hear something different every time. And the better you are at it, the more you've practiced it, the better you'll be, the better your presence will be. I'd like to leave you with one thought. For those of you, to paraphrase Mark Twain, there's a difference between being an ordinary speaker, a boring speaker, and being a respected presenter. It's like the difference between the lightning bug and the lightning. You are amazing. If you are listening to this summit, that means that you are dedicated to being a great speaker, to have your speech be better. And I'll tell you, it's worth honing and practicing it. My client Dana wrote to me the other day and she said, I am so glad that you pushed me to make it better, to not settle for good enough. Because last week I made $12,000 from two speaking engagements. So if you want to have that, if you want to be that, get out there. There are people who need to hear what you have to say. Go out and be the lightning. Thank you.